This is the Katrina Files, a series featuring the perspectives of first responders who worked in New Orleans in the immediate aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. I'm your host, Paul Mawson. The Katrina Files are drawn from oral history interviews of first responders from local, state, and federal response agencies carried out by the Historic New Orleans Collection. It is the first-person accounts of the chaotic events following the storm 10 years ago. In this episode, we'll feature interviews conducted by Mark Cave with members of DMAT CA6, a disaster medical assistance team from the San Francisco Bay Area, then under the FEMA umbrella. On the morning of Wednesday, August 31st, 2005, a group of 35 doctors, nurses, and other specialists traveled by convoy from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. Their assignment? Provide medical assistance at the New Orleans Arena to thousands stranded at the Superdome and to facilitate the removal of critical patients by helicopter. By this time, chaos had already erupted in the city. Supervisor nurse specialist Ron Lopez recalls the team's drive to the Superdome.
Yeah, at one point, a desperate family with their loved one in a hospital bed rolled the hospital bed in front of the lead truck and said, "You guys aren't going anywhere until our mama gets help, period." So grandma and mattress and all got loaded aboard a military deuce and a half big truck. And that's about the time the shots started ringing out. And then after that, there was some return fire, but we kept going.
At the Superdome, they were successful at first, evacuating hundreds of patients by helicopter and caring for hundreds more as best they could with rapidly diminishing supplies. DMAT registered nurse Leia Melman describes the situation the team encountered.
Most of what we were seeing were people who were mentally ill, who had been 3 days without their medications or more, and were having psychotic episodes. We had one guy, he was like, I don't know, a teenager, I think, and he was obviously mentally disabled, but he also had psychiatric issues, and he was getting hysterical because he's in a situation. Unfortunately, people like that don't deal well with situations where there's changes or stressors because they don't have the coping mechanisms to deal with it. And so what happens is their problems become worse. They become more psychotic because of the difficulty. And his family ended up putting him basically in a giant 30-gallon trash can because he was like urinating and defecating all over himself, and trying to physically keep him in there to prevent him from beating up on other people and stuff like that. And there was nothing we could do for him. We don't have psychotropic medications in our cache.
That was DMAT registered nurse Leia Melman describing the situation the team encountered at the Superdome. The frustration level among the tens of thousands stranded in and around the Superdome was high. Tensions flared. According to team members, numerous assault victims in the crowd were brought to the clinic, some severely beaten. As time passed, the crowds outside the clinic became larger and more desperate. Guardsmen assigned to the clinic security detail were called away, and several people forced their way into the clinic area to grab supplies. Several DMAT members were reportedly physically assaulted. On September 1st, with their supplies nearly exhausted and no way to effectively protect his team, Commander David Lippin made the decision and ordered the abandonment of their mission.
Over the radio, I heard a call for help from our folks. They said that those 14 soldiers who were protecting our area got pulled off. Now this crowd of people that was at our front door, there were no soldiers in between us and them, and so they start coming in and getting into altercations, physical altercations with our staff. And I remember telling him, if it's not secure for us, we can't stay. And he said, well, then I advise you to leave. So we had a brief conversation, our folks who were there, and we decided that we would probably trigger that riot if they saw us packing up and leaving. And so the method we chose to leave was in small groups of one and two. We just sort of sent people, you know, pointed at people and told them, go back down to the trucks, which are on the arena floor, and just climb in the back of the truck and sit and wait. And, you know, it took us maybe a half an hour to slowly do that. We left all the patients, we left all the medical supplies, we left all of our own personal equipment, everything there. We climbed into the trucks and drove off.
DMAT team commander David Lippin. Reports on the number of people who died at the Superdome vary, but the official number often cited is 6. Physician's assistant Barbara Morita and other team members contend that the number was much higher than that.
My understanding is that those 6 bodies were the bodies that were abandoned, that were left behind, and were found when the crews went in. We know that there are people in our areas, you know, in the medical areas, who didn't make it, and we have heard reports from other teams that there were patients who were put onto helicopters, still alive, who had died by the time that they were offloaded at the airport. So that the 6 that died, I think, are just the tip of the iceberg.
DMAT CA-6 was later assigned to Louis Armstrong International Airport, where team members assisted in the evacuation of thousands of medical patients. At both the New Orleans arena and the airport, an expectant area was established for those patients considered too far gone to be helped and were expected to die. Team chaplain Toby Nelson recalls his experience working in the expectant area.
I came back into the clinic area and I found 33 geriatric type people on low cots off to one side. I asked what happened there and they said, well, some nursing home brought all these people here. So I met with several of them, talked to them. A couple days later, when we were at the airport, I went into the morgue one time. It was called the black tag room or the expectant room. And here were these 33 people in the morgue. And then I went to the head nurse and I said, what are these people doing here? This is the morgue. And she said, yeah, I know. These people have been assigned here, triaged here. They're expected to die. This is the expectant room. I said, but I've been talking to just about every other one of them, praying with them. She said, well, that's what the chief medical officer decided. And just being indignant, I said, well, I'm going to go find another medical officer. I did, and found out that medical officer, who was one of our team members, only got 4 of those people out of there. But they were almost all alive. The next day I came by and every one of them had been removed to wherever. I never found out where.
The 14 team members who gave their oral histories expressed a range of emotions. Guilt, of course, for abandoning their patients, but also anger for having been placed in such an environment without appropriate resources or security. Their perspectives will be important to historians as they continue to delve deeper into what happened. This is the Katrina Files, the first-person accounts from first responders. To see pictures from the Superdome or to hear this or other Katrina Files episodes in our series, go to WWNO.org and subscribe to the podcast. The Katrina Files series features the perspectives of first responders who worked in New Orleans in the immediate aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. It's created by the Historic New Orleans Collection in partnership with WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. Thomas Walsh is our producer. Mark Cave is our executive producer. I'm Paul Mawson. Thanks for joining us.